voice is really greater in the mix of time and the chicken lobby flavor. A poem could be safer, but the mix is really greater in the mix of time and the chicken lobby flavor. A poem could be safer, but the voice is really greater in the mix of time and the chicken lobby flavor. A poem could be safer, but the voice is really greater in the mix of time and the chicken lobby flavor. Bobby sang the silent ear. Bobby sang in my silence. Bobby sang the black onyx of the tie-dye moccasins of Yoruba. Bobby sang the black jewel sword of Cod of Morning. Bobby sang the mint julep of the red clef of Georgia. Sang the toe-tap aqua shoes of Brother Hines. Bobby sang the silent ear. Sang the turntable of mine. Bobby sang the force of Everest and sunshine trimming rainfall. Singing the secret war pit of the twisted line. Singing the naked wide-eyed look of Jupiter.
Bobby sang by Ron Allen. And we in the second week of the open mic for the first Ron Allen Poetry Prize at the Los Angeles Poverty Department Museum, located at 440 South Broadway, downtown Los Angeles, this coming Friday at open mic, 6:30 to 8 p.m. And let me say this. Ron Allen was one of the greatest writers and spoken word artists that I know of. He was from Detroit, Michigan, and he left us and transcended to the ether a few years ago. His writing and performances was about spirituality and recovery. Now, I thought Skid Row had some of the greatest poets and spoken word artists in Los Angeles. If you got anything, then bring it out Friday. I hear that all the time. Either shut up and show up. That's what we wanted. We want to see you up there Friday. Let us hear what you got. Let's play a little bit more of Ron Allen doing Bobby Sing.
Voice is really greater in the mix of time and the chicken lobby flavor. A poem could be safer, but the voice is really greater in the mix of time and the chicken lobby flavor. A poem could be safer, but the voice is really greater in the mix of time and the chicken lobby flavor. A poem could be safer, but the voice is really greater in the mix of time and the chicken lobby flavor. Bobby sang the silent ear. Bobby sang in my silence. Bobby sang the black onyx of the tie-dye moccasins of Yoruba. Bobby sang the black jewel sword of Cod of Morning. Bobby sang the mint julep of the red clef of Georgia. Sang the toe-tap aqua shoes of Brother Hines. Bobby sang the silent ear. Sang the turntable of mine. Bobby sang the force of Everest and sunshine trimming rainfall. Singing the secret war pit of the twisted line. Singing the native wicked wide-eyed look of Jupiter.
Bobby sang, I hear you.
A poem could be safer, but the voice is really greater in the mix of time and the chicken lobby flavor. A poem could be safer, but the mix is really greater in the mix of time and the chicken lobby flavor. But the voice is really greater in the mix of time and the chicken lobby flavor. A poem could be safer, but the voice is really greater in the mix of time and the chicken lobby flavor. A poem could be safer, but the voice is really greater in the mix of time and the chicken lobby flavor. A poem could be safer, but the voice is really greater in the mix of time and the chicken lobby flavor. A poem could be safer, but the voice is really greater in the mix of time and the chicken lobby flavor.
Bobby sang by Ron Allen. Welcome to the Coon Round Report. May the peace and blessings of the life-giving creative spirit be upon you and upon your family. My name is Melvin Ishmael Johnson, coming at you live from Skid Row Studios. And I'm in the studio with my co-host, Earlene Anthony. Our call-in number is 1-800-893-9562. Now, this week on the Coon Round Report, our topic is voices from the downtown and Skid Row community. And I'm delighted to have with us in the studio Minister Yada Carroll and her son, Big T. Welcome to the Coon Round Report.
Thank you.
Blessing to be here.
Yes. Now, let's go around. Can you introduce yourself and tell our listening audience a little about yourself and your background?
Sure, I can. First of all, I want to thank you and for having me here, my son. We thank you for having us here. Thank you. A little about myself. I'm from born and raised from Detroit, Michigan. I started my ministry in Southfield, Michigan. And it was after I had a fire, and I, you know, came to see what is it I can do to best serve the Lord. And I started my ministry in Southfield under the title Morris Ministries. We've been effective now since 2009, but I was licensed in, wow, that's a long time, 1988. We're talking about over 25 years and I have my license. And I'm just honored to be here under God's presence and serving the Lord. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Okay. Mm-hmm. How about you?
My name is Theus Big T. That's what they call me. It's my rap name. Right now, I'm straightening from Detroit. I've been here since March 31st, actually, the day that I left Detroit and came to California. Mm-hmm. And being here, I just want to talk about being here, first of all, because to tell you my background, where I come from, Detroit, city I love, I would never forget. That's most important to me is Detroit. Where I was born, raised, taught, left from right, wrong, you know, everything. And the environment of Detroit is so rough right now. And it just, it's past rough. It's past rough. But just coming here to California where you see things like as you walking across the street and you're not at the light. You're in the middle of the street. You walk across the street, you got cars that actually stop and let you walk across the street. We don't have that back home. we don't have that back home in Detroit. Detroit already know. They have a mentality as, oh, you should have went across that. You should have went at that light. I ain't about to stop. You should have went at that light. So I just want to say, man, it's about God. Second of all, first of all, too, it's about God because he took me out of this environment where it was so rough, tough, everybody doing this, doing that, doing the bad things, and placed me over here where I'm near a beach now. And it's like, you look at the struggle like, man, I didn't have no money, I didn't have this, I didn't have jobs, I didn't have that. And I come over here to California and all that just was thrown at me. It was thrown at me. That's how I can say it. It was thrown at me. And I also want to say that back when I had my last job at City of Southfield, I was the maintenance worker. Mm-hmm. I bumped into a brother named Gil. I want to shout out to Gil. I bumped into a brother named Gil. Gil was actually seeing me working as a maintenance, noticed that I didn't belong there. Let me tell you how God works.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I was doing maintenance, cleaning up. Gil was someone who had a ticket for drinking, and he had to serve on this ticket. And being me as my position, I take people like that and I put them to work. Let me remind you, Gil was a grown man, 30, 40 years old, and I'm only 22. So when he came and I'm putting him to work, he looking at me like, I got a kid your same age. I'm taking order from a 22-year-old. That's the consequences you do drinking and driving. Mm-hmm. But we was working. And I'm taking out the trash, boop, and he stopped me. He said, brother, you don't belong here. I said, huh? And I was hiding it for so long, I didn't think nobody would actually notice that I don't want to be here. Mm-hmm. But he picked it up quick because he looked at everybody else in the environment. They smiling, they playing, they laughing, they taking trash out, but they joking. Me, I'm just doing it, just taking it and just, boom. Mm-hmm. I had no emotions.
Well, let me ask you this. What's it like? What's happening with the youngsters back there in Detroit your age?
It's terrible. They it's like they have no kind of respect. They don't know what home training is. They don't take life as you should take it, basically. And I don't fault them because I fault the parents are being too scared to punish their kid after a certain age because they're basically scared. Mm-hmm. And if you believe in God, he told you, you should fear no man on this earth, man or woman.
Well, how about the gangs? I remember they used to have young boys in corporate. What are the gangs back there now?
What are some of the type of gangs?
Mm-hmm. They used to have the, when I was there, the Young Boys Incorporated came a little later, but they used to have the BGF, not the BGF, the What were they called? The Black Killers, and
they still got something like that. Jerry Road. They most of the gangs are named after the streets. The streets you see, Jerry Road, 7 Mile, 8 Mile. Mm-hmm. What else we got? We got Pierton, Linwood. We got Schoolcraft, Southfield. Any kind of basically any kind of street you see in Detroit, there's a gang up under it. Mm-hmm. That's how they take their gangness now. Mm-hmm. They naming themselves after streets, mm-hmm. and they demand respect.
Yeah. And so it's a lot of youngsters without jobs, is just heading to prison and all that kind of stuff like that.
And when they are limited to a job, they keep getting down, keep getting turned down by unemployment. That's what they're quick to run to, because there's no one at home showing them attention as I love you, cover them as they should. So they go to their homeboys. Mm-hmm. Who's showing them love, but really don't know. That's the enemy. That's the trick of the enemy.
Yeah.
That's the trick you with love.
Okay, in a little while, we're going to talk about your music interests, how you got involved in that, you know, your aspirations out here. But look, before we get into an in-depth discussion with Minister Yadakaro, I'd like to play a short interview that I did Saturday, May the 9th, with a student organization from UCLA Hunger Project that brought out 200 hygiene kits for Skid Row for Mother's Day. This is Melvin Ishmael Johnson with the Qumran Report. And so glad to have some of the students out from the Hunger Project at UCLA. And let's start here and tell us your name.
Hi guys, I'm Klaus, and I'm from Hunger Project.
Mm-hmm. What's your major?
My major is biochemistry, and I'm a fourth year.
Mm-hmm. I'm Phoebe, I'm also from Hunger Project, and I'm also a biochemistry major at UCLA. Mm-hmm.
Hi, I'm Vina. This is my first year, and I'm undeclared right now.
Okay. So you're a freshman?
Yes.
Hi, I'm Nellie. I'm a third-year MCDB major at UCLA, and I'm a member of Hunger Project.
Okay, what's that M?
It's Molecular Cell and Developmental Biology.
Wow.
Hi, my name is Lauren. I'm also a first-year student, and my major is Pre-Human Biology and Society.
Mm-hmm. Now, can you tell us what is the Hunger Project? Can you tell our listening audience exactly what it is?
So Hunger Project is actually a community service club at UCLA, and then our goal is to serve all the homeless population in Los Angeles area. And then one of our service is like providing food service to the homeless population in LA in order to relieve the immediate hunger, because we believe like in order to like move on, food is really important in order to get that energy and motivation to like move on to a new stage of their life.
Mm-hmm. Now, who's the first time coming down to Skid Row? Okay, what are your observations? Is your first time coming down here?
I mean, I've heard about Skid Row before, and I've heard about like the homeless problem, but I didn't expect it to be, I don't know how to say it, just like this bad. And it was really shocking. Like, I do come from a low-income neighborhood, and it's kind of similar to this.
What neighborhood you come from?
I actually came from City Heights in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I've been to, like, downtown area in San Diego where there is a really big homeless population, but I think that the extent of homelessness here is a lot greater.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's really shocking.
What do you think the city can do to make things better?
I feel like in San Diego, there's actually, I'm not sure exactly what it's called, but there's a homeless program where it's kind of like long-term shelter instead of just a temporary one. And I feel like that it's been proven to be really effective in actually getting families off of the streets permanently instead of just for like a few days. And I feel like if more programs like that were implemented around here, that would work as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wonderful. Would you like to comment, say something? Yep.
Yeah, sure. I'm from Northern California. I'm from San Jose, and we don't have that many homeless people there, especially because of the weather. And when I came here, I was so shocked seeing all those homeless people in the streets. So my first quarter here, when I heard that there's this program called Hunger Project Feeding Homeless, I decided to join because I thought it's the problem of homelessness here. It's really like severe and bad. So I really wanted to join to be able to help. And
Okay, thank you. Would you want to make a comment?
I really just think it's a shame that there's so many people living out here on the streets, on Skid Row. And like Nelly said, I'm glad that I joined the Hunger Project. I can see myself coming back here several times just because I want to help the people who are living out here that are less fortunate and are struggling to gain shelter, food, and other necessities. So I'm just going to do what I can to help everyone else.
Mm-hmm. And this is one of the great churches down here with Church of the Nazarene, Pastor Tony Starwar. Okay, I didn't get a comment from you. Your thoughts on...
Yeah, sure. I actually came from Hong Kong, and I really don't see like that many, that much of homeless population. So when I came here, I was really shocked. So whenever I come here, when I see the appreciation from them, I feel really grateful. And according to Lena, what she said about the shelter, I think LA actually has a program like that, but then they have to keep renewing the lease from them. So like each person get like a year in the shelter, and then after that they move out. But then I think there's a similar program like that. Mm-hmm. So I think that really helps.
Okay, thank you. Very important project, the Hunger Project. This is Melvin Ishmael Johnson from the Qumran Report, coming to you live from the Skid Row area of Los Angeles. All right, now let's talk to our special guest, Minister Yada Carroll.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on what the students was talking about?
You know, I like the points they talked about. I just think sometimes we need to do a little more. Mm-hmm. We can all bring things. There are a lot of people that bring things down here. I myself have brought things to Skid Row. Mm-hmm. But what we need to really bring is bring the heart of Jesus. We need to bring more work. There are a lot of programs, even welfare programs, that have you doing community service, different peoples, different organizations that take you for community services. And a lot of us that have these programs need to take these people and have us go down to Skid Row and volunteer some of your time. Now, not to say your work can't get you into heaven. It's your faith that gets you into heaven. And so we need to preach and teach more faith to these to people that are on Skid Row. They really need that. Of course, they need the toiletries. They need all the everything else we can offer them. But they also need hope. And I think we're missing that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I honestly, the first time I came down to Skid Row with Mr. Wendell, I was afraid. Now, why was I afraid? Because I had never seen that many people in one, you know, or like that, and living
your,
like these
it
people.
Was your
they
first
live.
Time
yes, mm-hmm. Now I'm from Detroit.
Yeah,
and there's a lot of homeless there also, but it's not that compound as like it was here. And so when I came, I'm like, wow, what is this? How did this get like this? How mm-hmm. long? So this has become a something that's been. Is this supposed to be effective on the homeless? Have this has been effective resource actually? A lot of us is wearing, let's say it, I'm not going to hold it back, mm-hmm. but a lot of us are wearing the titles. We need to wear the positions.
Mm-hmm.
We need to wear the positions. Title is nothing. Because what you are is what you're putting in, what God put in you from birth. And we need to wear that and earn it and use it as a weapon to cure all this homeless situation. Now, I don't care where you come from, everybody has some form of homeless. And you see it every day. But when I came here down here to Skid Row, I was blown back. Mm-hmm. And it hurt me because I used to be homeless. You know, even just for 3 months, that's a long time. Some people I've talked to down there, been on there for 3, 6, and 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
They have made a career to live on the streets. That's not the way we weren't put here to live like that.
And what are your thoughts on the fact that Oh, you know, one of the big differences from out here in Los Angeles and Detroit and a lot of other cities like Cleveland, Baltimore, all of these cities, is that out here in Los Angeles, two things always stick out in my mind. Down in that Skid Row area, living mm-hmm. in the tents, is about 85 to 90% African Americans.
Yes, it is.
And the other thing is that the difference in Los Angeles and those other cities is that you have more millionaires out here mm-hmm. than anywhere mm-hmm. else in the United States. But what are your thoughts about the fact there's so much African Americans laying down there, elderly females, right. and just a whole mixture?
You know what, as you just spoke on, Mr. Melvin, the majority is African Americans. That's the majority are down there. For one, let's go back to the way tradition for our race. If you look at all the races there are, we are the most divided race there is. We don't help each other. Mm. We're against each other. The enemy volume lies in division. And that's what's happening to our families. We don't stick together. We need to. Now, you can sit in a church every Sunday. You can sit in the front row. But what does that mean? It's like playing football. If you just sit on the bench, you're just warming the bench. You're a bench warmer. Mm-hmm. You got to get out there to the field and play the game. Amen? And I look at that and I see the division. I walk down there. I'm praying for some. I'm holding some hand. And you can just feel it. And some, you know, told me, I used to be this. I used to be a doctor. I was a lawyer. I was a teacher. These are people. That's somebody's child, male or female, that just fell. And we're all one paycheck away from being down there on Skid Row.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at it, if you miss three checks right now, it's so easy if you just slip down there. That's why it's called Skid Row. Don't nobody plan to come out here and mm-hmm. end up on Skid Row. You kind of slide down there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's oppression. And so it's, what can we do to solve that? Mm-hmm. What can we do? First of all, like I said, we got to put Jesus in it. We got to put our hearts in it. It's not by our works we are saved. You can go down there and work 7 days a week. But if it's not in your heart, then what have you done? Mm-hmm. Jesus told you the poor be with us always. Did he not say that? Be with us always. But he said he shall not. So we are put here to do his work, to implement what we're put here for. And through grace and mercy, that we are saved. And I try, even though they're, you know, some of them, they don't smell the best. They don't look the best. Who are we? Mm-hmm. He didn't judge you by none. He judged you by the heart.
Okay. Let's talk mm-hmm. about your ministry for a while, and then we get back into talking about what's happening in Skid Row, some possible solutions. Now, how did you become a minister? When did you get your first calling? Can you talk a little about that?
Yes, actually,
it's a good thing
to say, because I can say it now and not be shame. I used to be shame of it because I didn't want to go to church. I was made to go to church. My grandma, my mother made me go to church. Every day I was mad. I was crying. This went on like 4 or 5 times a week. How much church you going to get? And so you're making me go. And then there were times when my mother, you know, and a lot of people, my mother's family fell to a depression where they stopped going. And I was still had to go. So when you get older, it becomes a part of you. It's just like a tradition, like sitting on the bench, just a bench warmer. And when I was licensed in 1988 to be a minister, I took that paper and just threw it somewhere and put it in the book and somewhere. I'm not doing that because I was modeling. I was on television. I'm all here. I'm this and that. But you're nothing without his glory because his glory writes your story. Amen? Mm-hmm. And that's your testimony. That's mm-hmm. my testimony. And I just remember after all that time, it took me 13 years to get serious about what I am and who I'm put here to be. You know, anybody, again, it's the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we choose to, a lot of us down there on Skid Row who have forgotten that God is judging by their heart
mm-hmm.
and not by their situation. And they fall down, they stay there. We all have wrecks. Who in here is perfect? Nobody's perfect. We all had wrecks, and we all fell down one time or another. I don't know about y'all, but I want my fifth fall. How about y'all?
Mm-hmm.
You know, as you get older, you have more falls, but you get more wisdom with time.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what? Now, what is the name of your ministry?
Morris Ministries, some Southfield, Michigan, which is right across the street from Detroit. So that's the same, Detroit, Michigan. Mm-hmm. And I started there in 2009, you know, after the fall I had. And I started my ministry there. And I rented a little space from where I was living out there in Southfield. I started feeding. I just heard the Holy Spirit say, feed my people. And see, if feeding is more than just food. I mean, you know, there's spiritual food. Mm-hmm. And so you can feed them in the natural and you feed them in the spirit. And I began to do both. I began to take the little money I had. I didn't have much money. And feed them. But I had much of this. Because I went to school and college. That gave me knowledge. But the Holy Spirit gave me the wisdom to feed his sheep.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes.
Now, can you talk a little about the fire that actually changed your life? Can you talk about that?
Man, that really changed my life so much because at the time I was, my father was, they told me he had 6 months to live. And my aunt also, his oldest sister, she had so many months to live. And I'm helping both of them, so I quit my job. And I was a aerobic instructor, and I worked at the bank. Took time off to take care of my father and my aunt. And me and my two daughters went in the house on a Saturday. Now, anybody know how Detroit, how cold it is? I'm talking about November the 2nd. I'm talking about when it's 0 below. Mm-hmm. And that's an everyday thing for Detroit. And we're in the basement. And I had cedar block windows. Cedar block windows they can't be open. They're just shut. And I had cedar block windows. We're in the basement. And my little 3-year-old kept telling me, so you got to listen to them children. And I didn't listen to her. And she kept telling me, Mommy is smoky up here. Mm-hmm. I'm like, girl, go sit down. You know, sometimes we get so caught up in who we are. I got caught up into, I'm this, I'm that. And you know, I'm not listening to my child who's telling me it's smoky upstairs. Go sit on one of the computers and play. Mm-hmm. But as I begin to see the fire coming down the steps, and now I'm trying to get out, me and my two daughters, and I pulled a table in front of us, and we couldn't get out another door. The fire was coming down the steps, so that exit is off. The windows exit is off. And I see these fires just all around me. And I just took my kids and I pulled them to me. But I couldn't find that 3-year-old. But I had the 9-year-old right here. And I couldn't find that. We looked everywhere. It's smoky. And I couldn't find her. So I just raised my right hand. I said, Father, I thank you for the 3 years you let me have her. You let me raise her. And I said, Father, have I not been a good servant? Have I not been a good mother? I know I've done it wrong, Father. I've done it wrong. But just save my children. Save my children. It ain't about me. Save my children. I heard nothing. And then I sat there and I heard the sweet voice say, Mommy, grab that. Grab that. Grab the figure. Mm-hmm. See, I mean, I'm still in the flesh. I'm looking. I don't see nothing. She telling me, grab the figure. Put your hand out. Put your hand out. And you see this white, beautiful figure just took us. Right out the fire. I don't know how I got out of fire. I saw the fire was coming down the steps. And I'm going to tell you this. This is my right hand of God. And the fire just moved over to the side. And me and my children walked out of the fire. Now, I still don't see the 3-year-old. But I got the 9-year-old. So naturally, you can see, okay, she's been consumed by the fire. And I got outside. I see the firemen. They had broke my kitchen window to get down the basement to get us. Had 3 body bags. And I said, sir, what are you doing? He said, it's a lady and 2 girls down here. The neighbors, everybody says, it's been confirmed it's a lady and 2 girls down here. I said, sir, here we go. He said, no, there ain't no way you could have came through that door. Because we touched that door, it was hot. There's no way you could have came through there. I said, sir, no, excuse me, ma'am, you're in the way. You're in the way. Now stay in this house. This is where I need you to stay in the spirit at. Because when the fire was becoming so close to us, we took off all of our clothing to fight the fire away. So I'm sitting outside with a t-shirt on. Nothing else. Now it's 0 below. And I hear the Spirit say, turn around three times. I'm about to change your life over. I'm about to start you over. Anybody heard of a revival? Anybody heard of just renew? You know, just redo it again. Just do it. And as I begin to walk away, that same little three-year-old came up to me and said, Mommy, I told you it was going to be all right. Mm-hmm. I said, where you come from? She said, I told you to grab that little, I saw that little nice man. Mm-hmm. You grabbed that man's hand. He helped you, didn't he? I told you he was going to help you, Mama. I'm like, what is this girl? But I just thank you, Jesus. Just thank you, Jesus. Mm-hmm. And from that time on, I began to stay in the streets. Began to live in the streets. I had a van. Now, my nine-year-old went with her father, so me and a three-year-old, we was together. And we lived in the van. We slept in the van. I began to go in stores and take food.
That's back in Detroit?
Yes, in Detroit. Uh-huh. And it was freezing, you know. And my three-year-old also told me, Mommy, go to this church. Now, I've been going to big, famous churches. And she guided me to this little bitty church. See, sometimes we got to stop looking at churches for the size they are. Because sometimes them little storefront churches, you know, got that oil don't smell so good. Mm-hmm. But they got that spirit that goes through there real good. And it's real. It's real. And this church had a television show. They had a television ministry. Right now, I'm a lifetime member of in Radford. And his father, he's the father. His son is executive producer for Preachers of L.A. And I begin to ask him, I say, please, let me get on television and tell my story. He put my daughter on television. She took a quarter, 25 cents, and said, get us to God to help me and my family because me and my mommy don't have nowhere to go. That quarter. Put my name, television, still got the same phone on the screen. Mm-hmm. Got calls. Places to stay, furniture, everywhere. Now at this time, I was still homeless. My father passed. My aunt passed. My mother had already passed. My sister had passed. And I remember laying there on that couch. I went back into the house because I had nowhere else to go. House where the fire was at. And I remember laying there and I said, Jesus, why did all this happen to me? I had lost everyone. I have nobody. I don't have no job. I just had to give one of my children back. I don't have anything. My father's gone. My aunt, which is my best friend. My mother, my sister. Jeez, I ain't got nobody. And I was crying. I'm on the ground. He said, that's where I want you at. Because I want to teach you that you ain't got nobody to depend on but me. That's who I want you to depend on me. He said, now stand up and take your position. As from your mother's womb, I gave you a position. Nobody elected him. Nobody can dethrone him. Mm-hmm. He is the father of fathers. He is the Lord of lords, the King of kings. Mm-hmm. And he came and rescued a little wrench like me. He saved me. Okay. And that's why I give the people on Skid Row the same kind of, I want to have that same juice I had to let them know that there is still hope. And long as you hold on to that glory cloud, he will always come and surrender you.
Okay. Amen. We're gonna come back and talk in details a little bit mm-hmm. more about Skid Row. It's very beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Let's take a little break for our community calendar. Then we'll come back and get into more of a discussion, talk a little bit more with Big T about some of the projects that he's doing. Mm-hmm. Okay. What's happening in the community? What we got coming in the community this week?
We got the Arts Walk coming up. That's this Thursday, May the 14th. And usually it gets started around 6 o'clock. And talking about the Arts Walk, Judith Bowman has a special event that she'll be at here at the Skid Row Studios. She has her show called Drama Queen. And she's going to be here around 5 o'clock. And there's going to be a reading of a stage play. The name of the stage play is Sea Oak. That's S-E-A-O-A-K. And it's George Saunders. I believe is written by him. He's an acclaimed American author whose works have been compared to those of Mark Twain.
Mm-hmm. And then Judy was telling me that Chris Devlin and also Darrell Phillips supposed to be doing some reading in that particular piece.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, when is that again? What time? And
that's
what
Arts Walk. That's this Thursday, May the 14th. And I believe Judy is going to her show is at 5 o'clock. And Arts Walk, it kicks off about 6 o'clock or when it starts getting dark. People start coming out, mm-hmm. milling around in the different galleries.
Mm-hmm. Now, what's happening with the open mic we was talking about a little early with Ron Allen? What's all the information with that?
Ron Allen, he's a friend of ours. And he was a great poet. Of course, you already said that. But LAPD is having a poetry contest reading. And also there's going to be a party. And there's going to be prizes for the first, second, and third prize of the poetry that will be picked out of the readers. And this is going to be like from 6:30 to 8:30. And it's going to be over at the LAPD Museum. And it's over on 440 South Broadway, up on the second floor of the mezzanine. And there's going to be a party and festivities on the 22nd.
22nd, mm-hmm. and then this coming Friday, they'll be doing open mic and
right.
6:30. And then the 22nd, they'll be doing open mic, 6:30, right. giving out three prizes. I think first prize is $100. Second prize is $50. Uh-huh. Third prize, $25.
That's right.
For those that think they can do some spoken word right. or whatever they want to do to come out. What other events coming up around here in Los Angeles?
I believe you have something coming up, a stage play coming up, and it's about Marcus Garvey and J. Edgar Hoover on Saturday, May 16th at 6 p.m. Want to give us some information about that?
We got a reading coming up at the USC Peace Center on the campus of USC, a play called Catch the Tiger, dealing with Marcus Garvey and J. Edgar Hoover. An outstanding professional cast to be reading there, directed by outstanding director, Mr. Bill White. And that's this coming Saturday mm-hmm. at
right.
6 o'clock. 6 o'clock at the USC Peace Center. Maybe you can give the basic information.
Right.
About
That's
it.
At the United University Church. That's on the campus of USC. It's right at the corner of Jefferson and Hoover. And the actual address is 817 West 34th Street. And that's this Saturday, May 16th at 6 o'clock. And it's a free event. There's also free parking. Refreshments will be served. And after the reading, of course, there will be a time for the question and answer session. And the contact number is 213-479-1764. Or you can contact DramaStage1 at yahoo.com. And if you have a community event that you would like announced on our show, send the information to DramaStage1 at yahoo.com. Attention Early and Anthony. And the call-in number for our show is 800-893-9562. Now, back to our host.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Earlene Anthony. Now, before we get back into our special in-studio guest, Minister Yada Carroll and our son, Vic Thee, I want to play another interview I did with a Skid Row community member, a little short interview, Saturday, May the 9th, at the Central City Church of the Nazarene. Okay, this is Melvin Ishmael Johnson of the Qumran Report. I'm over here at the Central City Church of the Nazarene where Pastor Tony Stoller works. And who am I speaking with, please?
Shirley Williams.
Okay, I'm speaking with Shirley Williams here. She's a member of the church. And Shirley, can you tell us just a little about your background? How did you get into this church? And
Through EPIC. I got out of prison in 2011, June 23rd, 2011. I went in EPIC, and it's a program for women that get out of prison to get their life right. I got connected with my counselor, and she, put me in classes far as anger management classes and housing and everything, permanent housing. And I got connected to this church because I used to be out here on Skid Row. And I used to always come in and sit, you know, but then when I got arrested, I wanted to give something back because the church was a powerful church. So I started coming and I became a member of the church. And how the program work is the program gets your life back right first, getting you housing and counseling you on if you was battered, going to classes for battered women's, you know, and if you was a user or you was homeless, they help you get back on your feet. I got back into this church with the by the grace of God, with the strength that God gave me, and my pastor and his wife. But Pastor Tony has been really understanding and good and been helpful. And that's all that I needed to get my life back right on track.
Well, let me ask you this. What do you think is the biggest challenge for a female coming out of the system trying to reintegrate back into the community?
For one, I think that the only thing that I can say, well, I can only speak of myself, but for any woman, is to get their life back right with God. That's the only strength, that's the only way they can, and be determined to go to these programs and these meetings for support. But the support that I got was from God and my pastor.
Mm-hmm. Now, are you familiar with Susan Burden's program called A New Way of Life?
No, I'm not.
Okay, she's an interesting program. I'd like to give you some information on her because she spent quite a few years in and out of the system, and then she eventually came out, got a house, and then being familiar with the females on the inside and knowing the challenges that they face, she began that program, began to get more houses. And then when Michelle Obama came out here, must have been about 4 or 5 months ago, and gave her an award. She got an excellent program. I'll try to get you some information on her also, because there's another program that I know Panji Baruti runs out of Long Beach. He's a part of the management. It's called All of Us or None, which is another great program. Okay, Cheryl, any final comments that you would like to make?
Yes, to all my sisters and brothers out there, is keep God, put God first in your life, and that's the only way you're going to make it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you, Cheryl. This is Melvin Ishmael Johnson with the Qumran Report. Okay, Yada, you want Minister Yada Carroll, you want to comment a little on what she was talking about, her struggle down there?
Exactly. She has the right ideal. She has the right focus. She said, put God first. Keep God first. And a lot of us, the people on Skid Row that I notice, the reason they're still there, because they're feeling guilty about what they've done or what they're doing at that present time. But don't they know we have a forgiving God? And if I think we need to reject that to them, that God has forgave you for whatever you've done. And I just think they'll stand up. They just need a help. You know, just need help to stand up. Mm-hmm. And she's on the right focus. She's been there. She's done that. And she said, hey, just keep God first.
Okay. And then one thing keep in mind about the whole purpose mm-hmm. of this studio right here mm-hmm. is to give voices to individuals like yourself.
Yes.
Because the opportunity here is to have your weekly show, your biweekly show, your yes. monthly show. It's here, right here to do that.
Yes.
You know, and you got a lot of help with your son over here mm-hmm. now, mm-hmm. you know. But we'll talk about that a little later. But, hey, tell us about some of the projects that you're working on. What are you trying to achieve with your music?
Right now, I'm trying to promote my own music. I just found out recently from an individual where we moved at an apartment complex. He told me something that makes sense. He says, you can make your own studio now. You know what I'm saying? Instead of waiting on someone else or waiting on this person to record and all this. And he gave me the details program, and I'm setting it up right now. So So I was like, perfect, you know. My mixtape I'm putting together, the music, at first I want to say it's better, but not that much better. But it's at a level, basically, because it's about me. Mm-hmm. It's about who I am. Yeah. And when I say that, I say as towards respecting women, loving women, because I'm sensitive about women. Mm-hmm. I don't like that disrespecting and hitting women. I don't believe in that. That don't work with me. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. And one thing I always say in mind about, because when you think about Detroit, where you come from, and I know yesterday we was up in Hollywood traveling through there, and they got the big musical that's in town called Motown.
Yeah.
That's playing right there. But when you think about, in terms of your artistic career, think about this. When you think about those earlier great musicians that come out of Motown, think about, you can think about one incident where these great writers utilized any profanity to get their art off the ground. And it's still some of the highest quality creation that you can think of. But you also, you think about all of those great Motown artists, and you think about their music, and think about any that had to use any kind of profanity to get their art off. See, and I believe it's the same today. It's what separate the real creative artists from the pretenders and the imitators. Yeah, the imitators feel that they got to use that shock language to get in. So so think about that when you be continue to begin your creation, because here's an opportunity for you and your mom to work together on a show on what's important.
And actually, I got some music towards gospel, mm-hmm. too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it ain't all hip hop. I actually wrote out, like, while being in Detroit, waiting to come to California, because I stopped my job in January the 3rd. My contract was up, 9 months contract with the job. Mm-hmm. After that, I stayed in the house. By me staying in that house, I couldn't say it was prison, but I could just say by me staying in that house, I done had. Went through a notepads of writing out music, just writing, every day writing. And I done heard beats that go perfect with this and that. So when I did that, it let me know that not only I was doing it in hip-hop, I was doing it in gospel, too.
Yeah.
I done wrote out songs for gospel, like 2-3 songs that made up by me, and all I have to do is just find a gospel, you know, station or gospel guy to make beat. And put it together.
Plenty of that out here. What are your thoughts on that? How rap fit into gospel music? How can the two come together?
I think
because it's all about the message, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's what I was about to say. It's about the message. And this is my personal opinion. As long as the message gets out, I respect his part about saying that about the women, respecting the women. And the profanity, but as long as the message gets out and the message is to God and his people, then I'm for it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, as long as for God and his people, I'm for it. I have seen and heard great gospel rap. Mm-hmm. You know, some I don't know none of the names, but they were great because they had the message behind them, the music. They exactly had know what they were talking about, the struggles. You know, I've been here, I'm here now, I'm going here. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Okay. Now we're beginning to wind down. Let's your final comments and make sure we get to contact information about your ministry.
Sure.
What are your final comments?
Sure. I want to open up a platform for anyone who wants to help Morris Ministry flourish here. I'm new here to California. I need all the help I can get. It. I'm not afraid to ask for it. I need it, and you can help me. I want to get somewhere where I can. Spread the love that God gave me and the wisdom that I have to project.
Yeah.
Right now I'm looking for somewhere, you know, I'm in the San Fernando Valley area. I'm sorry. My contact information is Morris Ministries, P.O. Box 4542, West Hills, California, 91307. That's Morris Ministries, P.O. Box 4542 West Hills, California, 91307. That number is 313-588-1887. That's 313-588-1887. I'm looking forward to serve.
Okay. And then also, remember to put that pressure on Wendell Blasingame.
Yes. Yes.
About finding a space. It's plenty of spaces down in that Skid Row area.
I asked them too.
It is wide open. You know, some of the, it's so much space down there people want to give away because so many of the business are kind of afraid to come down there. But that's where the biggest needs
are. They
are. You want some space to do a ministry down there? Hey, Skid Row is needed down there. And then remember what I said earlier about the possibility of reaching people with your radio show right here where you can reach millions of people all over the world with your ministry, with this internet ministry, all like that. Let's go with some closing comments, contact information.
Yes. By the way, my name is Big D. I'm definitely in it looking for a female singer and a male light voice singer and a DJ. I need all three. I'm directly looking for all three of those. A female singer, a male light singer, and a DJ. I also want to give out my contact information. I have a Twitter page at Toya_Hubby. I have Facebook, The Kid, T-H-E-E Kid. Instagram, hate_on_the. I have a Gmail, TommyJR18@gmail.com. And I have a telephone number, 248-508-2080. It's my cell phone that's on me all day. Twitter, again, is at Toya, TOYYA_Hubby, HUBBY. And I'm looking for all three, a female, a male, and a DJ. And I'm ready to put this project together and get it out there. Next time I'm here, I'm definitely willing to let y'all play it and go from there.
Okay. And then we still got a little time. Why don't you take about one more minute, tell us a little bit about the ministry, the name, what you're trying to achieve here in Los Angeles. Take about a minute what you would like to do here with your ministry. In this.
You know, I would love to expand my ministry. I want to go somewhere actually where it's not only reasonable, but right with a right heart. I've been to several different ministries here, and I want some ministry home where I can really help someone. And it's not about the 10%. I want to be able to give the 90%. I can live off the 10%. Amen. So I want to be able to help someone, and Skid Row has great opportunities. A lot of times, certain places are overlooked because of the name or because of they see what's there, but you don't know what's really there. You're really missing it. Mm-hmm. And I want to be one of those. I want to get mad. I don't want to miss the mark.
Okay. And then think about, you know, we're talking to Pastor Tony Stallworth, Central City Church of the Nazarene, and I talked to him over the weekend. He's talking about starting a show Tuesday, 3-4 o'clock weekly show. And that might be a good day to think about your show also here. Just keep that in mind.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
All right, then. I would like to extend a special thanks to Minister Yada Karen, her son, Big D. Please listen to past shows of the Qumran Report by Googling in Qumran Report. Thank you for tuning in to the Qumran Report. And from your host, Melvin Ishmael Johnson, may the peace and blessings of the life-giving creative spirit be upon you and on your family. I leave you with the song that opened the show, Bobby Sing by Ron Allen.
Voice is really greater in the mix of time and the chicken body flavor. A poem could be safer, but the voice is really greater in the mix of time and the chicken body flavor. A poem could be safer, but the voice is really greater in the mix of time and the chicken body flavor. A poem could be safer, but the voice is really greater in the mix of time and the chicken body flavor. Bobby sang the silent ear. Bobby sang in my silence. Bobby sang the black onyx of the tie-dye moccasins of Yoruba. Bobby sang the black jewel sword of Cod Divorce. Bobby sang the mint tulip of the Red Clef, Georgia, sang the toe tap aqua shoes of Brother High.